Marriage is a lifelong place to be in. It should be the place for you to be completely yourself and free.
Aggressive communication, especially in the context of marriage, will not always look aggressive at all. What you build through manipulation will be taken away from you in a split second.
Your spouse will not feel safe to tell you things or involve you in things because of how you normally respond.
Hello everyone. Welcome to Finding Beauty in Marriage, your podcast for all things marriage, where we build beautiful and fulfilling marriages. My name is Innocent B. Maluka, and as always, I'm not alone. I'm with my beautiful co-host and my wife, Matapelo Maluka. Say hi, sugar.
Hello everybody. Thank you for joining us again today, and likewise, I hope we have a great time together. So before we start today's episode, please remember to like, share, comment, and for those that haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Also, can you please tell us where you are listening to this from? Are you driving to work? Are you cleaning? Yeah. Are you cuddling with your person? Whatever is it that you're doing, let us know in the comment section.
Yeah. So my wife was asking me why do we really want to know this information not so long ago. And I was telling her that if we have a lot of cuddlers, perhaps we can change the background music, you know, to make it very suitable for cuddlers. And if people are really just cleaning their houses while they're listening to this,
we'll play them a piano.
We'll put some upbeat music to give you some, you know, some oomph. So in the last weeks, we've been talking a lot about communication. We've covered quite a lot of information regarding communication, just so we can make sure that every information that we bring into this platform, the couple can take it and use the communication skills they've learned from this platform to discuss those things, right? So today we are closing off the subject of communication. And as mentioned before, it is more important how you say what you need to say than it is what you are saying, right? And how you communicate your needs and feelings determine how you are received. Now, if there's one thing that I truly, truly love about marriage, is that marriage is usually the training ground for many things that pertain to just life in general. This is why you will usually find that people who strive to make their marriages a success also succeed in every other part of their lives. And one of these training grounds is in the area of communication. And that's why we've been talking about communication for three episodes, I believe. Because we believe once you get your communication right in your marriage, everything else seems to just fall into place, because communication is key to everything that we do in our marriages. Now, once you've figured out how to communicate in your marriage, you'll notice that communication in any facet of your life becomes much easier. So today we'll be looking into the different communication styles that we find in marriage. Like we said, all these can be applied anywhere else in your life. They don't just apply to marriage. These are just general communication styles that you find anyway. We'll be looking at what they are and what makes them what they are. And without further ado, what's the first one?
So we start with passive communication style. When you are a passive communicator, you are someone who avoids expressing your opinions. You avoid expressing your needs and your emotions, and you often prioritize your spouse's needs and opinions and values over yours. A passive communicator won't tell their spouse that they are hurt by what they said to them, because they are worried that expressing their feelings may hurt their partner. They tend to hope that their partner can tell what they are feeling without them having to say it. So passive communicators lack assertiveness and are unwilling to confront conflict or express personal boundaries, because they are trying to avoid discomfort or the guilt associated with speaking up for themselves. So let me give you examples of passive communication. You think to yourself, I wish my husband could help out with the kids more. instead of just asking them because you are worried about what about bothering them.
Yeah.
Or you say to yourself or to them, it's fine, I guess, when you know it's not fine.
Yeah.
But you are rather avoiding saying it and confronting the situation.
Yeah.
So passive communication in marriage can hinder healthy communication.
Yeah.
And connection between the partners. When one or both partners consistently avoid expressing their needs or desires or concerns, it can lead to misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It leads to unmet expectations, mm-hmm. and it leads to resentment.
Yeah.
So this lack of assertiveness can create a dynamic where issues go unaddressed because you are sitting with things you don't want to say them in the fear of hurting your spouse,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Issues go unresolved and potentially leading to a deeper rift in the relationship over time.
Yeah.
It is important, therefore, that couples cultivate openness
yeah.
in their relationship. They cultivate honest communication and to actively listen to each other's needs and concerns to maintain a strong and healthy marriage.
Yeah.
So I feel sad for spouses that are passive communicators because they have imprisoned themselves mm. in their marriage by not expressing themselves.
Yeah.
The thing about marriage is that marriage is a lifelong place to be in. It should be the place for you to be completely yourself and free.
Yeah.
For me, it is a painful imagination to think of someone denying themselves the things they really want simply because they are afraid
yeah.
or they cannot say it.
Yeah.
Marriage is a place of openness, vulnerability, transparency, and nakedness. The world will not offer you this opportunity, but marriage does.
Yeah.
Or it should.
Yeah,
right?
It should.
It should. So take it. Take the opportunity to express yourself wholly and fully.
Awesome. Yeah, I like what you said about passive communication. The fact that passive communicators avoid expressing their thoughts and feelings.
Mm.
And I just want to add to that to say they sometimes it's not that they don't mm-hmm. express them.
Mm-hmm.
But even in their expression, they are not free enough.
Mm.
So they are not open. The key word being open to that, to the idea of sharing their feelings and their needs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they may still share, but maybe hide some information because mm-hmm. they don't feel free enough to openly share
mm-hmm.
what they are actually feeling or what they truly, truly need. They do this mainly because they have the fear of conflict and the fear of rejection.
Mm.
Speaking of the fear of conflict, if your partner fears talking about their feelings
mm-hmm.
or their needs openly to you,
mm-hmm.
you must ask yourself, did I respond correctly the first time they spoke about their feelings?
Mm.
Or did I make a big deal out of it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if every time I raise what is bothering me or what I'm not happy with in our relationship, we end up fighting, chances are I will avoid raising those
yeah,
issues.
Yeah.
I will completely avoid them because I know they're going to make us fight.
Mm.
So I keep quiet about them, especially because I'm a passive communicator,
yeah.
right? The second thing is they fear rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make an example about men here. It is said that men generally don't talk about their feelings, needs, or even sometimes even their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we do speak about those things to you as our wives,
mm-hmm.
it is so crucial how you receive us.
Yeah.
It is very crucial how you receive us because we are really fragile beings. Don't be deceived by how we look and, you know, the masculinity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are very fragile beings, especially when it comes to going deep into our feelings
yeah.
and bringing them out. So when we get to do that,
mm-hmm.
just know that it already took quite a lot
yeah.
to bring it out.
Mm.
And when we get there, it's so important that you receive us very gently
mm.
and be kind to us whenever we share those kind of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
When a man shares or when a man tells you how he feels, he's not always asking for help. right? Okay. It's not always asking for help. They are crying out for just that acknowledgement. You know, for you to just acknowledge that their feelings are valid and they are not being crazy. And this is what we spoke about last week. We need to be always ready to validate our partners. And this is one example that I can use, you know. Yeah. When men speak, women need to be able to acknowledge those feelings and let them know that they are not being crazy. It's understandable, so that you allow your men to be able to come to you again
next time,
you know, rather than shutting them down. Because once you shut them down, chances are you've shut them down forever. And they may not come back from that. So I agree with you. Passive communicators will suppress their own needs to prioritize the needs of others, mainly to maintain harmony in the house or to maintain harmony in the marriage. Especially when they feel like what they want to communicate may cause conflict or may cause for them to be rejected, they will definitely keep quiet about it. And I think an example, you mentioned some examples, but another example would be, you normally do this, you would call me and then I will respond and then you say, never mind, I figured it out, you know. But many times I notice that sometimes you figure out that I'm studying, so you maybe think in your mind what you wanted to do can wait, you know. And I think that's an area where you become passive and say, you know what, let me let him study. When he's done, I can ask him to do what I wanted him to do, you know. But the problem with outright passive communicators is that they never come back out of it. It's always being passive and passive and passive and passive. But what that would do is it will lead to frustrations. It will lead to resentment, as you've mentioned. It would lead to unmet needs over time. And it will also result in one partner feeling unheard and unappreciated.
So I just want to talk about how to avoid or to correct passive communication in marriage. Couples can take proactive steps, like, number one, practice assertiveness. Encourage each other to express thoughts, feelings, and needs openly and directly, without fear of judgment and criticism. Number two, active listening. Focus on truly understanding each other's perspectives without interrupting or assuming. Repeat back. We said this in one of our episodes. Repeat back what your partner says to ensure that you understand. Number three, create a safe space. Foster an environment where both of you feel comfortable sharing your thoughts and emotions without fear of persecutions. And number four, lastly, address issues promptly if you can. Encourage open discussion about any concerns or conflicts as they arise, rather than letting them fester and escalate. What is number two?
So number two is the aggressive communication style. The aggressive communication style is basically having a firearm on your partner's forehead without having a firearm on your partner's forehead. This is having your partner under duress, basically. It's actually being forceful, dominant, or being hostile. It often disregards the rights and feelings of others. In other words, these are the kind of people who would say, it's my way or the highway, you know. The aggressive communicators have components of intimidation, blame, insults, and they use all these to prove their dominance. In the context of marriage, I want us to note that aggressive communication may not always look aggressive, and it's very important for us to pay attention to that. That aggressive communication, especially in the context of marriage, will not always look aggressive at all. Especially if you're married to a guy who is soft-spoken, or a woman who's soft-spoken, and they are hardly hardly aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Or shouting.
Yeah, they never shout. Mm-hmm. They are just soft-spoken in nature, like mm-hmm. me or you, mm-hmm. you know. But being soft-spoken doesn't mean I am not aggressive at all, you know. For instance, you and I, let's say you work a lot and you, let's say you travel a lot, and I come to you and say, you need to leave your work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't leave your job, we are done.
Mm. Yeah.
I am not showing signs of aggression.
Aggression, yeah.
People would say, but he communicated that well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really pay attention to what I said, it carries intimidation, which makes it an aggressive style of communication.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to get away with that because I didn't come across as aggressive. But it's in the words. In the words now, the aggressive style shows up because what I said carried intimidation.
Okay.
And that intimidation is really aggression. You know, I can be as soft spoken and have you on my chest while I say that, you know, but I am aggressive. And people need to be able to pick up when someone is being aggressive and they're just hiding it.
Sure.
You know, people who use the aggressive communication style, they use it because it can lead to immediate compliance.
Okay.
When once I intimidate you, chances are you are going to agree with me now, you know, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
Although the aggressive communication style may help individuals get their needs met in the short term, it does that at the expense of your marriage. So never use the aggressive communication style. Aggressive communication will damage the emotional well-being of your marriage. It will always escalate conflicts. It will always lead to resentment and communication breakdown. It will impede your problem-solving skills in your marriage. You cannot effectively solve any marital problem with aggression. There are things that don't do well in marriage, and aggression is one of them.
Yeah.
It does not benefit your marriage at all. If I came to you and say, you never listen to me, you are always selfish, I can't believe I have to deal with this all the time, I'm tired of this. If you listen to that, yes, it has a little bit of a tone of
aggression.
Although some people may just think it's just frustration,
okay,
you know, but it's aggression to its fullest because it carries what I just said now, carries all all components of what an aggressive communication would sound like. You know, first of all, I said you never listen to me. I'm showing you blame there. I say you are, I said you are selfish, which is an insult. You know, aggressive communication carries insults as well. Name calling is a form of aggression or
aggressive communication,
Communication style. Yes. I said, I can't believe I have to deal with this all the time. I'm tired of this. This is me intimidating you. I'm saying I'm tired of this. Now you don't know if I'm tired of the situation.
I'm tired of you. Tired of the marriage. Yeah.
You know, you don't know what I'm tired of. And it's just mind games that intend to intimidate you so you can succumb to what I'm desiring at that moment. But it never does anything good for our marriage.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So what aggressive communication does for the marriage basically is to damage it.
Yeah.
Right? And it causes, number one, feelings of disrespect.
Yeah.
Where your spouse feels disrespected by you because of how you speak to them.
Yeah.
You may not be shouting, as I've learned now, but how you speak to them may make them feel disrespected.
True.
Number two, lack of connection. Aggressive communication will greatly affect your intimacy at any level. It will, I mean, if we do not connect, we cannot be physical. It will be difficult for us to be physically intimate.
True.
It will be difficult for us to be mentally intimate, emotionally intimate, and spiritually intimate because it causes a disconnect.
Yeah.
And lastly, it creates secrecy.
Yeah.
your spouse will not feel safe to tell you things or involve you in things because of how you normally respond to them when they do involve you in things. One needs to be self-aware. Self-awareness is really, really important in if you want to change and address aggressive communication. You need to commit to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will not just happen, but you need to commit to changing. And you need to commit also to open dialogue, right? Because it's your way or the highway. You are the one who's always talking, you know. But if you want to change that communication style, you need to be open to dialogue. You need there needs to be a mutual understanding between the both of you.
True.
Because with aggressive communication, it is your way, like I've been reiterating.
Yeah.
So there's no mutual agreement and no mutual understanding. It's one-sided.
Yeah.
And I think with this kind of communication style, I would suggest that you potentially seek for professional help because what it will do, it is going to help you learn healthier communication skills. And I think some of the proactive steps that one can follow is to recognize the pattern, acknowledge and take responsibility for any aggressive communication pattern within the relationship.
Yeah.
Talk about these and make a resolution on how to address them going forward.
Yeah.
Number two, you communicate calmly. You practice expressing your thoughts and emotions calmly and respectfully. You use the word I, right? In the statement that you just made as an example, there was a lot of, you don't listen to me, you don't do this, you don't do that. But when you want to counteract that, you need to use the statement I to avoid blaming or accusing your partner. Thirdly, active listening.
Yeah.
Chances are you are not listening when you are an aggressive communicator. Listen to your partner's concerns without interrupting them or becoming defensive. You validate them and you show empathy. You practice empathy by trying to understand the underlying emotions and needs that are driving your spouse's behavior. And you respond with empathy rather than aggression. You set boundaries. You can set boundaries in marriage. You can. So you set boundaries. You establish clear boundaries regarding acceptable communication behavior. This is how I want you to talk to me. Don't use that word anymore. Instead of using that word, can you rather use this word, right? And you commit to respecting each other's boundaries. The next one, you take breaks. This is important. You take breaks. When conflict escalates, take a break and cool down. And revisit the conversation when you are both calmer and more receptive. The last one, you celebrate progress. This is important, very important that you celebrate progress. You acknowledge and celebrate small improvements in communication, reinforcing positive changes within the relationship. Give your partner a high five. Let them know, previously you would say this.
I realized that you've changed something.
I noticed that you used this word instead. I appreciate that. Give them a kiss, give them a high five, give them a hug.
It really goes a long way
because it's going to help them be more intentional going forward about doing that. They are going to put some thought in it, you know, every time they address you. You must do it with patience, empathy, and willingness to change. With doing that, you can foster a healthier communication pattern in your marriage, and this will strengthen your marriage.
Awesome. Awesome.
So we move on to number three.
Number three is passive aggressive communication style.
Passive aggressive communication is in its name. It is a combination of passive and aggressive traits. The communicator appears passive but communicates in a very subtle and indirect way that show anger.
I don't like this one.
They are very sneaky, these ones.
Yeah.
So let's look at the examples of passive aggressive behavior. Giving your partner the silent treatment when you are upset. You avoid talking to them you don't share your honest view when asked, or you say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you, basically, you're just avoiding engaging in a conversation with them. You don't want to talk to them.
You don't want to open that.
You don't want to open up to. The other one, when you are angry, you tell your spouse that you are not angry. Mm. While your actions contradict what you are saying during that time, you use sarcastic words, you ignore them, and you pretend not to know anything just to avoid them. So when your spouse is a passive aggressive communicator, they may be feeling resentful or stuck, but they are uncomfortable in expressing their feelings directly. So it comes out in other ways of ignoring you or sulking, because they really just are having a hard time expressing themselves in words. Such kind of a behavior in marriage creates tension, because it hinders honest communication and resolution to conflict. How do you access someone's emotions or have a successful communication with them when you see that they are not okay, but they are giving you the silent treatment? It's very hard, right?
You can't.
And when you try to open that dialogue, or when you try to communicate with them, they say, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong. They've basically built a wall around them, and you cannot access them.
It's always said that when a woman says, I'm fine, they are not.
About mission.
They are not. So.
They use words like that, right? And over time, this behavior can erode trust and intimacy between partners. And it leads to increased frustrations and dissatisfaction in the marriage.
True. I like what you said as well, especially with regards to sarcasm. You know, because if there's one thing about passive-aggressive communicators, is they use sarcasm a lot. And the thing about sarcasm is that it creates confusion.
It does.
You know, because the true feeling and intention are not really communicated. In fact, you find that due to sarcasm, the opposite is communicated. And let's say it's my day to wash the dishes. Like the Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. And then I decide not to wash them on Friday or Saturday. And then they pile up. So instead of you coming to me and telling me how you feel about the clutter in the kitchen, because you are a passive-aggressive communicator, you would come to me and say, I see we have Mount Kilimanjaro in the kitchen. You know? You said nothing about the dishes. So your true intention is not really communicated. And this happens a lot with couples as well. You find that the real intention of what they truly, truly feel or what they truly need is not communicated. So the other person, especially if it comes from a woman to a man, we are not good with clues. So you saying,
you don't read in between the lines.
So you saying there's Mount Kilimanjaro in the kitchen doesn't help me at all. And it leaves you even more frustrated. Because I probably won't be doing what you want me to do by telling me there's a Mount Kilimanjaro in the kitchen. Instead of you just saying, no, dude, the dishes are just piling up now, and you're gonna cause a lot of, what do you call those, cockroaches and stuff. You're gonna cause those if you don't wash the dishes. It's easier for you to communicate it that way, to say, please wash the dishes because there are going to be cockroaches if we don't, than coming to me and being sarcastic and saying, there's a Mount Kilimanjaro in the kitchen. One that I've heard, another example that I've heard is when a couple hasn't had sex in a while, you hear one of them saying, I think I've gone back to being virgin, you know, instead of communicating what they want. They just say, I think I've gone back to being virgin. And this is what happens when you are a passive aggressive communicator. You are so aggressive, but you do that aggression passively. You know, it's not a direct kind of aggression. So a lot of people around you, they probably won't notice how aggressive you are.
Mm.
But it doesn't take away the fact that you are aggressive, right? You are just doing it in a very subtle manner.
Yeah.
The other thing that passive-aggressive communicators do is they give backhanded compliments.
Mm.
Now, backhanded compliments are compliments that intend to hurt you, you know. And remember, these are compliments that come from a passive-aggressive person. He or she knows what they want to do or what their intention is. You may not pick it up, but when you sit down and think about them, you know, design, man.
They dribbled me here.
This person here really, really hurt me. And these hurt a lot.
Mm.
So don't ever use them. An example of a backhanded compliment is, let's say your spouse spends the whole day preparing a nice meal for you, you know, and you come home and say, "I'm so impressed. You cook dinner without burning the house." You know, it sounds like you're impressed.
Yeah.
But if they sit down and think about this, they'll notice that you actually added to the compliment something that actually hurts. You know, it means every single time they cook,
they burn the food
or they burn something.
The pot.
Yeah, something has to burn.
The cloth.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not a nice way to compliment someone. I'd rather just say the food is delicious, thank you so much, and that's the end of
and
it.
And eat.
You know, and eat with peace. I will tell you this, backhanded compliments will erode your partner's self-esteem. Every single time you give a backhanded comment or a backhanded compliment, it will erode your partner's self-esteem. And it's just that.
Yep. So, addressing passive-aggressive communication requires that you have an open dialogue.
Yeah.
You are assertive.
Yeah.
Don't dilly-dally. Don't say what you don't mean.
Yeah.
You know, be assertive. Be direct.
Yeah. Just on that, passive-aggressive communicators, in what you are saying, I noticed that they always avoid direct confrontation. So, they will not confront you directly, but they will express their anger and frustration. Remember, they have components of anger and components of frustration. They will express those. It's just that they will not do it directly.
So
if they want to punish you, they will punish you. You just won't know where it's gonna come from, because they won't be direct with you. You know?
These ones are very sneaky. So,
addressing
passive, like I was saying, communication requires that there be an open dialogue, you are assertive, and you commit to resolving conflicts constructively. Number four, manipulative communication style. Now, this style of communication is when a person is cunning, deceitful, and want to control the situation or their partner. Manipulative communication has two connotations to it. One, it involves emotional abuse and lying. And the other one is being clever and crafty. But really, whichever one it is, it should not be used in marriage.
Doesn't help.
It does not help marriage at all.
Yeah.
It will not benefit the marriage, because manipulation at the end of the day, it just destroys the marriage. When you should rather be building with your spouse.
Aren't you glad you're married to me, Mar?
Listen to yourself. Giving yourself flowers.
I'm glad I am.
You know? I really, really am.
Yeah, because really these things, I mean, I don't get to experience them. And it's such a blessing to be married to you. Because I never had to deal with a lot of things that we talk about. It's things that we've learned over time. You know, I think we've learned what not to do as we observe and as we do the counseling sessions with other couples. So the couples that we have helped have helped us more than we've helped them, I think, you know, because we gain so much from just the sessions that we have. So yeah, I think I digress, but I wanted to just give you your flowers.
Yes, I'd rather have those flowers than the real one.
Yeah,
I just don't like flowers, by the way. That's just me. Yeah. So manipulation tactics in relationships or marriage, let me just give a few. You are being submissive to your partner's thoughts and emotions.
Yeah.
You blame the victim, basically, for the abuse. You tell them, you use statements like, you make me do this.
Yeah.
They use threats.
Yeah.
Like you said, if you don't use your job, I'm going to leave you and stuff like that. It does have those elements as well.
Mm.
You play on your spouse's insecurities. There's also name-calling here when you are manipulative. You control their lives, basically. A manipulator will control your life.
Yeah.
They tell you who to be friends with. They tell you not to see your family.
Yeah.
But obviously, they're being manipulative about it. They will
they
not be
direct.
They won't be direct. Let me use an example. They would say, I don't think your friend likes you.
Yeah.
I think they are competing with you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think you should hang out with them anymore.
They are pretending.
Yeah, they are pretending to like you. I don't think that you should be hanging out with them anymore. That is a manipulator. They do that.
Yeah. And once they say that, you start seeing it.
Yes. You start seeing it. They've planted a seed in your mind.
And you'll always see it because someone said it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But before they said that, you were not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are going to look for flaws in people,
you will
find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Just like we say in our book, that finding beauty.
It's a conditional statement.
Yes,
you know,
you will find beauty
when
if
you look
for beauty.
Yeah.
Another one will be saying, I don't have money to do my nails, or I didn't get my nails done. I hope I don't look basic at this dinner party.
Yeah.
You are firing shots at your spouse and wanting them to feel bad for not giving you money to do your nails. Where else we could have just asked for money, you know?
One that I don't like is when someone says, other men do this.
Sure.
Oh, and then now you don't know what to feel now. Am I not a man? What is happening?
You know? Man. Yeah.
So it's just a way of manipulating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So manipulative communication can have several detrimental effects on a marriage.
Yeah.
It erodes trust.
Yeah, it does.
It creates a very toxic environment.
Mm.
Right? When people say that I'm in a toxic relationship, chances are the other one is really manipulative.
It's manipulative. Yeah.
And it leads to emotional distance between the partners.
Yeah.
It can also result in power imbalance in the relationship, where one partner feels controlled or manipulated by the other one.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it just undermines the foundations of a healthy relationship, which are mutual respect, trust, and open communication.
Yeah. And like you said, I totally agree. Manipulative communication always leads to a toxic and abusive marriage.
Yeah.
If you are being manipulated, you are being abused. It's just that.
Sure.
You know, manipulation says, I own you.
Mm.
It basically says, I own you. Because can you imagine if
you just don't know about it.
Yeah, you know, I own you. And by me saying I own you, it means I can make you do what I want you to do, how I want you to do it, whenever I want you to do it.
Being a puppet master.
You know, yeah. So it's like you are my puppet.
Mm.
I own you. Instead of being in a relationship where we have mutual respect for one another and we treat each other as equals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manipulation has no space for
equality
in marriage. If I'm manipulative and you can be manipulated, it means I'll make you do things that you would not otherwise do in your normal state.
Yeah.
You know, which makes you a puppet. You know, you can make a puppet dance whenever you want it to dance. You can make it sleep whenever you want it to sleep. So it's just not a good way to lead your marriage. Manipulating, it's to me, sounds almost like hypnosis, where you just coerce your partner to do things that they just wouldn't do.
Mm.
And I think the best way to get the best out of your partner is to allow them to be themselves.
True.
You know, and enjoy who they are.
Mm.
Because manipulating them means you are making them what you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to experience
who they really are.
You know,
yeah.
And you are missing out a lot,
mm-hmm,
if you are doing that. So manipulative communicators, what I've noticed about them is that they often mix the authentic truth and fake information. In fact, the fake information is quite a lot, and there's like sprinkles of truth here and there,
yeah,
just so they can hide the lie.
Mm-hmm.
In simple terms, manipulators are liars.
Mm.
And there's nothing worse than marrying a liar.
Ish. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than being in a relationship with someone, mm-hmm, who lies.
Mm-hmm.
And they lie like that, not under duress,
mm-hmm,
unprovoked.
Mm-hmm.
They're just gonna lie to you anyway because,
yeah,
they can lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a great example of a manipulative communicator, you'll hear them by saying, "If you love me,"
mm,
you know, the if statements.
Do 1, 2, 3, yeah, for me. Yeah.
If you loved me, you would do what I want you to do without questioning it.
Sure.
That's just a great example. If then,
mm,
then you know someone is trying to coerce you into doing something that you wouldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, they use what they know you cannot be perceived to not be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, if you loved me,
mm,
I'm simply saying, I don't think you love me.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to prove that you love me,
you have to do what I'm saying you should do. Yeah.
You know, and I won't say that, obviously.
Obviously.
I'm going to just say, if you loved me, then you would do 1, 2, 3. You know, I just want to say this. It's important for people to communicate their needs and their feelings without hurting the next person.
Mm-hmm.
The example that we did now, if you love me, then you will do this. I'm basically saying you don't love me.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts,
mm-hmm,
to say that to someone who actually loves you,
mm-hmm,
with all their heart. Tell me I've hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you want something without hurting me,
mm-hmm,
into doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because now you are in a marriage with two hurt people.
Mm.
It's just not going to work out.
They just continuing to hurt each other.
You know,
that
just continue to hurt each other, and it just won't work out.
Mm.
Tell me what you need. Let's face it together as a unit in a loving manner.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to manipulate. I love you already.
Mm.
My love already manipulates me, you know.
it's true, doing that, you know, on its own.
Love, yeah, alone will make me decide in favor of you
all the time.
Mm-hmm. I always tell the story about when we're still dating.
Mm-hmm.
I had money for taxi to go home,
mm-hmm,
but you wanted to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say no, you know.
And that was not a cell phone picture, by the way.
Back then it was the literal cameraman standing in front of us.
I think we just exposed, you know, how old we are.
And I used that money. You didn't have to manipulate me into taking pictures.
Mm.
You just told me what you needed.
Yeah.
And I had my love would not allow me,
mm-hmm,
not to give you what you wanted.
Yeah.
So when you are married to someone, the fact that they are married to you already says that person loves you.
Yeah.
Don't manipulate them. You know, what you build through manipulation will be taken away from you in a split second.
Sure.
People around you and your spouse will eventually catch on,
mm-hmm,
to your manipulation tactics,
mm-hmm,
and it will break the trust between you and them,
mm-hmm,
forever. And you know, trust is so hard to build.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Manipulation tactics just don't work in marriage.
They don't.
Yeah.
So to avoid manipulative tactics or manipulative communication in marriage, focus on open and honest communication. You said this. Be honest.
Yeah.
There's really no need.
Yeah.
Unless you are just a cunning person and a deceiver, right? Yeah. Respect each other's boundaries.
Yeah.
I think these are going to come up now and again as I give solutions on how to counter these communication styles, because at the heart of it, it's communication.
It's communication.
And
yeah.
open and honest communication, boundaries, empathy, and understanding will always be there.
Yeah.
So you establish mutual trust and respect in any relationship is basically key.
I think also, you know, I mentioned that these kind of communicators are liars.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with a lie is it will always need another lie to cover up the first lie.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, you have a bunch of lies and your marriage is built on a bunch of lies.
Mm.
And guess what? You can lie for 15 years, but the truth will come out.
Mm.
And that's the thing with the truth. It needs no one to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs no one to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to show up. It's going to rock up when you least expect it.
Mm.
And it's going to be game over. You know, can you imagine having built a marriage for 10 years, 15 years on top of a lie, and then the truth shows up one day? It's just going to destroy everything that you have built. So fix it now. Honest and open communication right at the get-go. It's gonna solve a lot of your problems.
I think I'm even tempted to say, if you've been this person in your marriage, if you're listening with your partner, just repent now. Tell them now.
Yeah, come out.
And
now.
I pray she or he has grace for you and just says, you know what, let's start all over again and just start on a clean slate. So I pray for you at this point, just to say to you that it is not too late to decide to change, you know, to decide to be a better person. So decide now. Pray about it, come out to your partner, and may the grace of the Lord be with you and help you through it.
Sure. If you've lied to me and the truth comes from you, is much better than the truth
that
just
you
showing
find
up.
Out.
That I just find out. It's easier if you say, yo, babe, I was not in my right mind. I may have twisted the truth here and there. Here's the truth. Here's the full truth. You know, I'm sorry about this. Here's the truth. I would like us to fix it and go forward. It's easier that way. You make it easy for me. It means you've thought about it. There's some thought into it, you know. There's some remorse to it, and you are bringing it yourself to me, than me just finding out you did something that I didn't know about, and it's just
And coming out about it, to me, it would say that you want to change. Because if I find out and you say, oh, I will change, I promise. No, I found you. You got caught. You know, chances of you changing and repenting really are very slim. So there's more grace for a person who comes out to say, you know what, I did 1, 2, 3, I lied. I've been manipulating you on this thing. I've been intentionally being aggressive to you, you know. And from there, I believe there is a grace for you from your partner. So number five, assertive communication style. Now, with assertive communication, which is what we've been reiterating, is you use the word I because you are expressing yourself and you are expressing your point of view. And you make sure that, or you are always direct and you are always clear while respecting your partner. You are direct, but you are respecting your partner. Assertive communication helps you express yourself in a way that gives your spouse insight into your emotions and your mindset. They are able to empathize with you because you are communicating from how you are feeling and how you see things. And in this way, you get your needs met better. Unlike when you would have been aggressive in your approach. Assertive communication helps minimize conflict because you using the I statement basically says you are talking about yourself. You are not talking about your partner. Yeah. So them being defensive or having the need to attack or be aggressive or defensive, like I said, is diffused. Because you're talking about yourself. It's not you, it's I. This is how I feel. Assertive communication is often confused with aggression. Can you believe that? Yeah. Because you are direct. So it's often confused with aggression because it involves sticking up for yourself. But it is done respectfully, whereas with aggression, you are forceful in your approach. So aggression in itself, it damages the relationship because you indicate that your needs matter most, whereas with assertive communication, it strengthens the relationship because you consider your spouse's needs as well as your needs. So assertive communication positively impacts the marriage in several ways. Number one, it enhances understanding. It promotes clear and open dialogue. It helps couples to understand each other's perspectives, their needs, desires more effectively. Number two, it is respectful. Respectful interactions. Assertive communication fosters mutual respect as both partners feel heard and valued without resorting to aggression or passive behavior. Number three, conflict resolutions. Assertive communication enables the couple to address conflicts constructively, leading to more effective problem solving and the resolution of issues without escalating tension. Number four, I think, healthy boundaries. It encourages the establishment of healthy boundaries within the relationship, allowing both partners to express their individuality and maintain personal autonomy. The last one, increased intimacy. You know, marriage is all about intimacy, man. Marriage is all about connection. Marriage is all about bonding. So by fostering honest and respectful communication, assertive communication can deepen emotional intimacy and strengthen the bond between partners. So I just want to give a few examples of what assertive communication is. Let's say you use statements like, I may be overly sensitive, but can you please not use that word? Instead of saying, you always use hurtful words when talking to me, right? You know how we tend to exaggerate when we are, when we want to point out another person. It's you will use, you will always hear statements like always. You always do this.
You so always leave it there.
You always leave it there.
I always have to pick it up from.
That's what happens. Another one, I'm not happy, or I don't like, or I'm disappointed in the way that this was handled. Let's see if you can rectify it or fix it. Instead of saying, you handled that poorly, fix it. Right? Marriage is teamwork. One's blunder is the blunder of the marriage.
It's both of us,
and
we
come together to figure out a solution. So the last one, let me just put in the last one here. I wish you would have told me this before when you first found out, so we could have talked about it before. Instead of saying, you always go ahead to do things without talking to me first and you tell me after.
I like the I statement. Assertive communication really is about me being direct. And it's not, it's, it has nothing to do with you. So that's why, that's where the I statements come in. So I like what you said. You really covered quite a lot around the I statement.
The I statement helps the partner not to take offense. You know.
So the I says it's me.
It's me.
This is I'm expressing how I feel.
I'm expressing myself.
This is how I feel, and it's not, it's not you. You know. I like the assertive communication style because while expressing my feelings and needs in the clearest form I can, in the most direct way I can, in the most respectful manner I can, I'm still considerate of how you feel. You know, in other words, assertive communication says, this is what I want or this is what I need, but I'm willing to hear what you have to say or how we can reach a compromise.
Or a mutual understanding.
It's not like the aggressive one where it's my way or the highway. You know, here it's, okay, I want my way, but I understand that I'm in a partnership here and I may not always get my way. So I'm going to tell you how I feel. And then you'll tell me if there's another way we can look at that can mutually benefit us. You know, and that's what I like about this kind of communication style. It builds trust. It builds intimacy, like you mentioned. You know, it is so encouraging when you find a couple that are both assertive. You know, because you can see, man, when you are sitting with them, that these people are able to communicate so clearly, both of them, and they are able to communicate what they need without fear, because that's what assertive communication does. It allows for both partners.
You are direct without fear.
To be able to communicate with each other without any fear. And yes, if you are listening to this, we don't only meet couples who have problems. You know, we do meet couples who are, who just have it in, I remember the couple lockdown. We did, I can't say their name, obviously. I think they were doing the premarital counseling. And they were just
we were on so point. Happy with
we
them.
Were so happy with them, you know, because they know how to communicate their needs.
They had it on lockdown.
You know, they spoke so well to one another. They were both soft-spoken, not that it's a requirement, but they were just able to communicate assertively what they wanted, how they felt, what they
open,
needed.
They were vulnerable, you know, they were transparent.
They cried with each other. It was just so nice to see that happening, you know, because it's what we hope to see in marriages. That's how assertive communicators communicate. They are direct. You can ask me to do something now.
I don't have to prepare speech for me to do,
you know,
that.
You don't have to
think, what is he gonna say?
Go to the mirror and figure out how you're gonna say it, you know, how you're gonna phrase
your words.
You
get your body
words,
language, your eye you contact, know? Yeah.
But I also just want to mention that for many men, they struggle with receiving assertiveness. And I just want to speak to men on this. Many men mistaken assertiveness from their women for disrespect. You know, you'd hear them saying, how can she be so direct with me? Who else is she supposed to be direct with? And they perceive this assertiveness as being disrespectful, because although we desire respect, many men still can't define what respect means to them and what respect should look like, looks like to them. You know, because we grow up knowing a man must be respected.
And then you ask them,
and we have no idea
what
that looks like.
You
know, and I think each and every man must just sit down and think about, what does respect mean to me? And once they've defined what respect means to them, they must also define what, on a practical level, what does it look like? Once you have those two things figured out, then you need to go to your woman and communicate those.
One of our sessions where the man just kept saying, I'm disrespected. We kept hearing it so much. And I asked, what do you mean? You know? And he couldn't. He's like, I want to be respected. And we asked him practically, what does respect mean to you, and what does it look like? He couldn't. He just said, I want to be given my place as a man in the house.
And we asked,
what does it mean to be the man of the house?
Yeah.
And he couldn't answer us.
Yeah.
He just says to you that men have been told they need to be respected. But when you ask them, what is respect? Yeah. They can't say it.
Yeah. And I do think we do have that innate need to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, we don't take away that fact. We have established that.
We do need, but
you
I
can't
think every
go
man,
around, I need to be respected. I need to be give me respect in the house. And
what
you're like, okay, we
like?
Are prepared to give it to you. Yeah. What does it look like?
Exactly, exactly. And that's
and
where,
you know.
We do desire to be respected, but we don't even know what that respect should look like
mm-hmm.
to us.
Yeah.
So even when you give us respect, how you know it,
mm-hmm.
we don't know if that's still respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
To us, we haven't really defined what fits
mm-hmm.
within the confines
mm-hmm.
of respect
True.
For us.
True.
So it becomes a huge problem,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So define what respect means to you
mm-hmm.
and define what it should practically look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll never have a problem with identifying respect in your home because you'll have communicated it.
Mm-hmm.
You've verbalized it.
Yes.
And the people around you, your kids, your wife, and maybe your family,
mm-hmm.
they understand what it means
mm-hmm.
to respect you
mm-hmm.
as a person,
mm-hmm.
as an individual.
Yeah, you are frustrated with being disrespected in the house because you haven't communicated it.
Yeah.
You know, you just know that as a man, you need to be respected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when your wife does not do that which you want them to do, you become frustrated with them.
Yeah.
So it is important to say what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's what we struggle with as men.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for men,
mm-hmm.
this assertiveness should not be seen as being disrespectful. In fact, allowing your wife to be assertive at home allows her to be able to stand for herself
mm-hmm.
even when you are not around.
Mm.
If you teach her to be quiet and passive
mm-hmm.
by forcing her not to be assertive,
mm-hmm.
she will be quiet and passive even at times when you want her to stand for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take an example where you are sick and you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You are bedridden.
Sure.
You can't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you want your wife to stand up and take her place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be assertive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't taught her how to be assertive with you, to be assertive at that moment or when you were fine,
mm-hmm.
it will be so difficult for her to suddenly become
mm-hmm.
assertive because you are sick,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And this spills over. She's prone to abuse at work,
yes,
with her friends,
yes,
with family,
yes.
you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I really believe that when you allow her to be assertive, it doesn't only help her to stand for herself
mm-hmm.
only when she's with you.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, it helps her be confident in herself
everywhere.
Every part of her
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
You know, because at work you are not there to defend her.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to be able to speak for herself.
Mm-hmm.
If she's frustrated, she needs to be able to speak and not hide it because she has been taught from home to be passive all the time. And I noticed also that you said it's also confused
mm-hmm.
with aggression.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to add that some individuals may perceive assertiveness as being confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
mm-hmm.
it's not being confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
It's just knowing what you want and communicating it as it is
mm-hmm.
while you're still being respectful of the people who are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're not aggressive, as
mm-hmm.
long as you are still respectful,
yeah.
as long as you are direct,
yeah.
you can't be possibly confrontational. You are just being assertive.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who think assertiveness is being confrontational, it's those who are accustomed to passive and aggressive communication styles,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're just used to people being passive around them.
Yeah.
They're just used to people being outright aggressive, you know. So if you are not either of those, they think you are just being confrontational towards
In a nutshell, assertive communication creates a supportive and collaborative atmosphere in the marriage.
Yeah.
Where both partners feel empowered to express themselves honestly and work together to nurture a very fulfilling relationship.
Okay. So maybe the question that you have is, which communication style should you use for your marriage? Honestly, we don't know. We don't know. Remember, the idea of this podcast is really to give you information that you can use to build your marriage. But we don't want to be the decision makers in your marriage.
Mm.
The marriage is yours.
Yeah.
You decide how best to live it.
Mm.
We do a combination of a passive and assertive style.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the example that I made. When I'm studying, my wife goes into a passive mode just so she can allow me to finish what I'm doing, and then she can get assertive immediately when she sees Hore, I'm done. Then she goes assertive, and then we can do whatever she wanted me to do. Right?
Yeah.
We always do that. We either are assertive or we are passive, but we don't stay passive for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's about getting into a passive mode when you
need to,
when you have to.
Yeah.
You know, at that moment, just to allow for things to flow in the marriage, and then get back into being
assertive.
Yeah. So as we've communicated, we do a combination of passive and assertive style, but it's important that we know what makes up the rest of the communication styles so that we don't fall trap to them. You should know by now, nothing in marriage is one size fits all. Each marriage must decide what works for them. However, it's information like this that helps you be able to decide with an informed mind.
Today, we are wrapping up communication.
Yeah.
And the reason we dwelt on it for three episodes is because communication is, like you said in the beginning, it is the bedrock of every relationship.
Yeah.
If people get it right on communication, relationships will not be much of a struggle.
Yeah.
Because at the center or the heart of all contention in relationships and marriages is ineffective communication.
Yeah.
If we know how to successfully communicate, we will reach deep levels of intimacy in our relationships through empathy, through openness, transparency, vulnerability, and nakedness.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, mastered, but if you are not yet comfortable being open with your spouse, being transparent, being vulnerable, and being naked with them, it means then you are still very much struggling with effective communication.
Yeah.
Right? So you need to work with your partner to see how you can achieve these things that I've just mentioned.
Yeah.
And when you have these things, it is a recipe for a very, very successful and beautiful marriage.
Yeah.
So with this being said, all the best, guys.
Yeah.
Do what you can. Do your best.
Yeah. It takes two people.
And you will honestly have a beautiful marriage.
Yeah. I wanted to say it takes two people, you know, it takes both the man and the woman to be intentional about making communication right. If one of you is working on it and the other one is not, it never bears any fruit. You know, you can still upgrade yourself as a person. You can still, you know, become better at communicating as an individual, you know, but it doesn't help being a better communicator when you have someone who's just not even trying.
Yeah.
You know, so we hope these podcasts, you are not listening to them alone. you involve your partner in them so that this information is information for the both of you, and you have something to start talking about. You know, you have something to start that conversation around communication and say, hey, what can we fix? Where can we improve?
Yeah. I'm reminded by a couple at one time when we had a seminar and we did what we call a heart-to-heart session where we allow couples to talk.
Yeah.
And after the session, she came to me like, my relationship was fine. My relationship was fine until I attended this thing. So it shows you that people don't talk, right? People think that they are okay because they are just talking. In autopilot and cruise control relationship until someone says, hey, actually you guys are not talking about what you need to be talking is fine, but what you need to
what
be
is
talking,
it that you are
yes,
talking about?
Yes. So I hope these podcasts are really, really helpful in terms of pointing to you what you need to talk about. So challenge for the week. Please tell us in the comment section below, what kind of communicator are you? Right? You don't have to say a lot. We will know what you mean. We just want to keep the comment section flowing and just know, how people communicate. And this one you don't have to answer in the comment section. But with you being that communicator, is it working for your marriage? And if it's not working, how can you better communicate with your spouse? You will have to do an introspection here and decide to work on yourself. You mentioned something about both partners talking, and you said that you can work on yourself in marriage. You teach one another, you learn actually from one another, so you can start. Be that person that you want to be and be that person that you want your spouse to be by teaching them.
Yeah.
Right? Teaching them. You don't have to say it, but they will learn from you how you talk to them, how you have changed and how you're approaching things. They will notice it and meet you halfway, right? And know that you can decide what kind of communicator you want to be. Your current communication style is not a death sentence. You can learn new tricks, right? An old dog can learn new tricks. Marriage is a long life school. You learn as you grow. So be willing and intentional if you want to have a successful and a beautiful marriage.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. And we pray all the time that your marriage becomes better and better. We hope your marriage becomes more beautiful, more fulfilling. And till we meet again, be present, keep loving. Bye-bye.
God bless.